Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report. Lee Kelly is with me in studio here on this Thursday. Lots to get to today. Obviously, IU basketball, always one of our focal points, and we still are a long way off from knowing a great portion of the schedule for next season. We do know a couple of the highlighted non-conference matchups. We also know the Big Ten opponents. That's been released, I don't know, maybe a couple months ago even. You know who you're going to play, who you're going to play twice, who you're only going to play once, if it's going to be home and away, a series, if it's going to be at home, if it's just going to be away. We know that stuff, but we did find out earlier today another addition to the schedule. IU will play in the Big Ten ACC Challenge. They will take place on Tuesday, December 3rd. They will take on Florida State. The game will be played at Assembly Hall. So a big non-conference game, which is always a big early season series between two great high major conferences. And we know Florida State will be coming to town to take on the Hoosiers. So we get another small step closer to figuring out IU's schedule for next season. That's always one of the fun things, Lee, of the offseason, to kind of piece the schedule together the way the Big Ten Conference does it now. They don't release the dates, obviously, that early, but very early, right after the end of the season, they send out the schedule. You know who you're going to play it. And a lot of them, now that they've got it structured with protected rivalries and things like that, you have a great idea already who conference-wise you're going to play. And you know you're going to play everybody at least once, obviously. But the way the conference stuff comes out, then the way the non-conference stuff begins to trickle in, some of it you can fill in from last season if there's a home and away, an agreement, a contract. But that's, to me, always been one of the fun things that helps you get through the offseason. As a fan, you get the opportunity to slowly, piece by piece, put that schedule together until finally you get the whole thing presented to you. And when that happens, you know you're getting much closer to the next college basketball season.
And we know that these games that fall early in the season, the non-conference games, mean a lot, have a lot of weight, especially if you're playing top competition. If you can pick up some wins in that early season, you're ahead of the game.
Let's take a look at the guest lineup today, presented by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, Lee and I will have some Hoosier headlines, our summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. We'll have more on the Big Ten ACC Challenge matchup between Florida State and Indiana. We'll talk about the matchups as well. There's some great matchups set for this year in that annual event, as there are every year early in the college basketball season. Also, Indiana-Kentucky All-Stars Friday at Bellarmine, Saturday in Indianapolis, and we have the Indiana seniors and the Indiana juniors scrimmaging last night at Newcastle. So Trace Jackson Davis and his senior team going against the juniors, who are fresh off a 1-1 series against Kentucky. We'll tell you some of the key performers from there and how that went last night in Newcastle. Also today, a number of IU baseball players drafted. Lee, I think you've got a rundown. We'll go through that coming up in a bit on our headline segment as well. And we can officially confirm a new boys basketball coach at Providence. We'll tell you about that coming up here in just a bit as well. So stay with us. And Summer League schedule, we'll give that to you in the first segment today. Later in the program, segment two, Ben Ladner of Inside the Hall. He's in replacement of Alex Bozich, who is on vacation today. He will join us to talk IU basketball. We'll talk about the addition of Florida State to the schedule for next season. We'll talk about the schedule as a whole and where it stands right now as well with Ben. And I'm sure we'll get to some of the favorite topic of this time of year for this specific offseason. Romeo Langford in the NBA draft with Ben when he joins us a little bit later in the program. Also, later in the program today, Lee and I have got some stuff this weekend on Silver Creek and the baseball semi-state we're going to talk about and some other news as well. So stay with us for that busy show today here on this Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report. That's the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll get $1 off your boxed lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. ACC Big Ten, we told you at the top of the show, Florida State at Minnesota, Florida State at Indiana, what am I thinking, on Tuesday, December 3rd. A look at the full matchups. It's going to start on Monday night, December 2nd, Miami at Illinois, Clemson at Minnesota. Tuesday, December 3rd, Michigan is at Louisville. That's an intriguing matchup. Duke is at Michigan State, another very intriguing matchup. Iowa at Syracuse, Florida State at Indiana. Rutgers is at Pitt, Northwestern at Boston College. And then the final day of the event on Wednesday, December 4th. Here's a good one, Virginia at Purdue. Ohio State at North Carolina, Notre Dame at Maryland, Wisconsin at North Carolina State. Nebraska at Georgia Tech, and Wake Forest at Penn State. For the first time in a number of years in this event, Indiana does not play Duke or North Carolina. I think that's a good thing for the Hoosiers next season.
Well, maybe, but Duke is kind of an unknown. They brought in some top talent, as they always do, but will it be along the lines of Zion Williamson and company, or will these guys need a little time to put it all together as a team or adapt to the college life? So, hopefully Florida State's not a team with, and I haven't looked into it, but a team coming back with a lot of experience and great talent might have been better off playing a Duke or North Carolina next year. You never know, but it'll be a big game for IU, trying to put a check mark in that column of important victories during the season.
I think, and again, you're right, I haven't researched Florida State by any state of the, but I think they're going to be solid. They were 29-8 last season. They were in the Sweet 16. I saw one of the early preseason rankings had him in the top 30, top 35 or so. So this obviously is a team that it's going to be, you know, definitely not a slouch. This is going to, it's an ACC opponent. It's going to be one of the tough matchups on IU's non-conference schedule, but good to see it. And again, it's kind of refreshing, I think, in a way to see someone other than Duke or North Carolina on the schedule for this next season as well. You know, college basketball, we look forward to it because we talk about it year-round. Here we are in June leading the show with who Indiana's going to play in the ACC Big Ten Challenge for next season. But that event, it's early. Things haven't gotten crazy yet with everything in the basketball world heading into the winter months. It's, you know, Christmas is around the corner. That's always a good reprieve. Three good days of college basketball very early on. Some good matchups, two really good conferences. You know, most years both conferences going to place a high number of teams in the NCAA tournament. So, to me, that's one of the series. I know there have been others that pop up. The Gavitt tip-off games are great. There are other challenges like that between conferences. But to me, the original, the traditional, the Big Ten ACC challenge is the one where it's at. And to me, it's the great kickoff of the college basketball season. Sure, we'll have some games before that, but a lot of them will be against lower-level opponents and, you know, Division II exhibition games. And some of the games are televised, some of them aren't. But this is the first big deal. And there, I guess that 2K Classic maybe is around the same time or even just before this. But for Indiana, this has been, and for the conference, this has been the first big tip-off of the season for me, and I think a lot of other fans feel the same way. So when this schedule's released, it's a little bit of exciting, I'll have to say.
Yeah, and I think we've all got questions about how IU's going to look next year. Trace Jackson Davis, how will he perform as an incoming freshman? And, you know, it's just a lot of questions. And you mentioned some of the exhibition games, some of the earlier games. We'll find out some. We'll find out who's getting minutes and so on. But who gets minutes in those early season games doesn't always relate to who gets minutes late in the season. You can play yourself into the starting lineup or into a key role, or you can play yourself out of that same thing. And we saw that happen, I think, last year with the young man, the post-grad that came in, played a lot of minutes early in the season, but as the season wore on, he was sitting closer to the coach on the bench than he was out on the floor.
Absolutely. It will be interesting to see, obviously, how things shape up with the rest of the schedule. But again, to recap, a big announcement, Florida State and Indiana next season to kick things off. Last night, this kind of week-long celebration of the Indiana-Kentucky All-Stars continued. You had the junior games on Sunday over in Louisville. You had the junior games series, game number two in that series, on Monday at Jeffersonville. And then last night, the junior-senior exhibition, kind of really the one tune-up that the seniors have in a game-like situation before they play Kentucky at Bellarmine on Friday. A competitive game, good group of juniors. I think a lot of juniors in that class that we're talking about, these guys are going to be seniors. Trey Galloway, Anthony Leal, a number of players that will go on to play college basketball at a high level. So you would expect those guys to give a big challenge to the seniors, and they did. The final score, the Indiana senior team winning 127-118 at Newcastle last night. And as you'd like to see, Trace Jackson Davis filling up 16 points for the Indiana senior All-Stars, leading the way. But it was a very balanced scoring effort. 15 from Brandon Newman, who will go to Purdue. Armand Franklin right at the top of that list as well with 15 points. The key line, the tagline about Armand is he's gotten so much better over the last year or so. So you would expect him to come out in an All-Star game like this and put some separation between himself and some of the others. And him and Trace Jackson Davis definitely did that last night. Other double-figure scores last night, Jalen Windham, he had 14 points. DeJuan Jones, the big man in the middle from Ben Davis, he had 12 points. John Michael Malloy from Carmel, he had 11 points. And Jake Laravia, 11 points as well. Also, Isaiah Thompson, who will go to Purdue, had 10 points. So very balanced scoring. That's what you expect. That's what you hope. You want to see All-Stars that are talented making those highlight-type plays, Lee, but you also want to see sharing the basketball, buying in somewhat to defense, even in a scrimmage against the juniors, because you know this weekend Kentucky's out to get you. Kentucky's trying to change the momentum in this series. They've been able to pick up some wins against Indiana, at least one the last couple years after getting shut out for a drought. And they feel, we talked to Scott Chalk, the game director for Kentucky earlier this week, that they can maybe turn the momentum of this series this weekend. And so with that, the seniors are going to have to not just come out and expect to dunk and have great passes and great plays and great shooting performances, but they're going to have to share the ball. It's going to have to be a true basketball game. Yes, it's an All-Star game, but these Indiana-Kentucky games, that's what I like about it so much. There really is a reason to win the game. There really is so much pride that goes in winning the game. You're not just representing the East team or the West team. You're representing the state of Indiana. And so I thought last night against a really talented junior group, it was a good sign for Indiana. I think they've got their hands full this weekend. I think they can win one or two games this weekend as well, but definitely a team last night that, from the box score at least, and from others that were there, they shared the ball. They bought into the defensive side of things, which is going to be important this weekend.
Yeah, I think Kobe Barnes had 8 points in that game as well. In reading about it this morning, I believe that was the number I heard. That young man who had a great career, 4-year starter at Floyd Central, came in with 8 points last night. And we know Kobe's very unselfish. If he had other players that were hot on the floor, he would get them the ball. So, you know, one thing we talked about it last year a little bit during the All-Star Series, most of these young men, the seniors, have already reported to their college choices. So they're coming back and they're doing the All-Star thing, which I think is great that they're allowed to do that. But their mindset is probably on college and whatever they're expected to do there. So it's kind of, I think it would be difficult as the coach to keep their focus on these All-Star games when they know what's coming. They're going right back to IU, Purdue, Indiana State, wherever it may be. And they've probably been given some information on what's expected for them this summer. So focus, probably a key ingredient for those young men.
It's kind of an interesting situation, and you mentioned it. I saw last night Trace and Armand were asked about it after the game, but you know, those two have been at Indiana. Like, they, you know, they've been working out on campus with the staff within regulations and what they can do in the weight room and off the court and that sort of thing, you know, not just basketball stuff. So they step into the college life without the full team there at that point. Then they step out for a week and a half to do the Indiana All-Star thing. And this is kind of their reprieve from what's going to be a summer of really hard work. Not that the All-Stars aren't hard at work this week preparing for Kentucky this weekend, but kind of an interesting situation. They step into college life for a bit, just a sampling, and are probably like, oh my, you know, this is going to be completely different than what we're used to. And it's not the same because the full team isn't there. There are some guys there, some guys at home. But nonetheless, when they know when this is over with that there's a lot of work ahead of them. So I would have to think that this is a fun thing, although it is prideful. And, you know, I mentioned the pride against Kentucky and that's why I love this game, because it's an all-star game, but it still really means something. There's pride playing against the juniors, because the last thing you want, if you're Trace Jackson Davis or Armon Franklin or any of the Purdue kids on the team, is to be known as the senior class that got beat by the juniors. And that has happened before. You know, there were years before the junior series was created between Indiana and Kentucky when the senior All-Stars would play the juniors or different collections of the juniors twice. It was not just a one-game thing like it is this week. And so there have been times where the All-Stars did not win the exhibition, and that's kind of a blow going into the weekend, you know, against Kentucky. But they took care of business last night, and I really feel like I'm going to do my best to make it Friday. Saturday will be tough, but I encourage everybody to go to KentuckyBasketballCoaches.org. You can buy tickets there through the Eventbrite service. They're affordable. They're cheap, really. I think this weekend will be a great game, not just the boys' game, but I think the women's game, the girls' game will be good as well. I do want to take a quick look at the junior All-Stars last night. Leading the way for them, a player that we've talked a lot about, Nigel Pack from Lawrence Central. And I saw recently that he was offered by Kansas State. So he's beginning, it looks like, with an offer from Butler and from Kansas State. And he's got others, lots of mid-majors. And I might be missing another one of the higher major, bigger school offers. But there's no question about it that he's put himself on the radar this spring. In that weekend that the coaches were out at the Nike EYBL event, he's continued to play well in the spring, even without the college coaches on the sideline. He played well last night. He played well in the junior series against Kentucky. Indiana, we know, is recruiting him. Indiana, to our knowledge, I don't believe anyone thinks that he's been offered a scholarship or that he said he's been offered a scholarship. But I really think behind Trey Galloway and behind Anthony Leal in this junior class, that he could become a third major target of the IU program. He has just absolutely exploded onto the scene. I saw him last year play New Albany. Lawrence Central was really good. I thought they had a chance to win a state championship. They were knocked out, I believe, in the regional round. But he was good that game, showed a lot of bounce, a lot of athleticism, a lot of potential. But it's clear he's one of these players that's just really beginning to put it all together.
Yeah, and a couple of things. One, you and I have been in broadcasting or been around the All-Star games the last few years, either one or both, and there always seems to be one or two players on that All-Star team that you knew about, but I really didn't. And in watching them play, it was like, holy moly, where has this guy been and why haven't I heard about him? Talking about me, you knew about him a little bit, but a lot of times they exceed our expectations in that All-Star game. The other thing, for a person that doesn't see these kids at the AAU level or doesn't see them in a lot of times, Anthony Leal, to me, I don't understand all the hype, because every time I've seen him, it's been against New Albany in probably the opening game of the year or the second game of the year, and he's never had a good game against New Albany. He's had a great game. He's had good games. And Trey Galloway, the only time I've seen the young man play was against Silver Creek in the state championship. He did not have a particularly good game. So if other fans like me base their thoughts and expectations on those games, they go, I don't understand all the hype. So, but you see them in different lights. You see them in different arenas playing different competition, and you're able to share with us the type of game that they have and how their game would be used at the college level.
And you say that, and I do get a chance, high school and otherwise, to see them maybe more than the average person. But with the internet nowadays and videos and opportunities to stream games, the avid fans can locate a lot of stuff from the comfort of their own home. Even so, even seeing these kids in different situations and knowing what's out there and how they're competing at different levels, I don't recall it was the year Kyle Guy won Mr. Basketball. You and I were courtside at Bellarmine, kind of a last-minute decision that we were going to broadcast the game. Kyle Guy, we didn't know until tip-off, no one had said anything, was not going to be at the game because he had to get to school, which was that last year that there were seemed to be a lot of conflicts with kids that were college prospects that you wanted in the game, even Mr. Basketball caliber players that couldn't come. And thankfully, the series has been adjusted where it's Friday, Saturday now, as opposed to Saturday, Sunday, which gives that Sunday a travel day, a day to get to whatever campus some of these kids need to go to, with summer school starting, at least that session on that Monday for a lot of these schools. But that aside, I can remember, I can't think of the guy's name. He was from Northwestern Indiana. He was from the region. He may have been from one of the Gary schools. He may have been from one of the East Chicago schools. He may have even been from Bowman Academy. I can't remember. But there was a player that we saw that went absolutely bonkers against Kentucky in that game, and I think went on to have two big games. I think he had played well the night before. It used to be Indianapolis on Saturday and then back to Bellarmine on Sunday or back to Louisville or somewhere on Sunday. But, you know, you're right. You never know. There's always somebody that's a sleeper, no matter how much you follow. And these kids, they want to compete at this high level as well. So I'm glad to talk a lot about the Indiana All-Stars and the Kentucky All-Star Series this weekend. I'm glad we had Scott Chalk on. We're going to have more later in the week on that series. But to me, it's something that still really matters. And again, for local fans, we were treated to Trey Coleman on Monday night for Jeff. He had a huge 22-point performance to help the Indiana Junior All-Stars to a win over Kentucky at Jeffersonville. Local fans have a chance to get out and support Kobe Barnes of Floyd Central. Lee, you mentioned last night he had 8 points. He only played 13-something minutes in the game last night. But he's one of those players. If he gets some early minutes, and he will, he comes in and gets hot, hits a couple shots. He's the kind of kid that's happy to share the ball, move the ball. He just wants to be part of a victory, whether he scores 8 points or 18 points or 28 points. And he did that. He had like 30-something points in the junior series a year ago, the one in Louisville. So we know he can score in these type of games if he gets the ball in the right situations. But I like Indiana's mix. I think they've got the right mix, and we'll see what happens this weekend. But fun to talk about. Lee, before we get out of here for the first segment, IU baseball has had a number of players drafted in the Major League Baseball draft. I think that's noteworthy.
Yeah, it kind of surprising to me, but I'm sure people in the know were not surprised. First of all, 10 players were selected, and that means that Indiana all time has had 104 players drafted by Major League Baseball. The 10 picks this year, it's number one in the Big Ten and tied for fourth nationally for number of players off one team. So those names, Matt Lloyd, Paulie Milto, Scotty Bradley, Cam Bocamp, Cole Barr, Elijah Dunham, Cade Bunnell, and Matt Gorski, Andrew Solfrank, and Tanner Gordon were the 10 players drafted. Now, will they all sign with a major league team? Probably not. Some will elect to come back their juniors and hope to improve their Major League Baseball stock and be drafted higher next year possibly, but quite a few of them probably will sign that dotted line.
Absolutely. Interesting stuff. Good stuff for IU baseball. I think that's going to be a very, very fun program to follow over the next few years under the leadership of Coach Mercer. That'll wrap up our headline segment, a look at the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Lee and I will head to a commercial break. When we come back, I had it wrong. Alex Bozich is with us this week. Ben is with us next week. Alex was giving me a heads up that he can't do it next week. I had him backwards. So we get the great Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall after all today to talk some IU basketball and a lot more coming up next right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Lee Kelly's with me. We're back for this Thursday program. Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall is with us for our weekly chat on IU basketball. And Alex, as we begin to slowly piece this schedule together for the 2019-2020 college basketball season, we know that Indiana will play as expected in the Big Ten ACC Challenge. If we now know the date of that event and we know the opponent, which will be Florida State coming to Bloomington for a matchup.
Yeah, we're getting close to having, I think, all of the pretty much the marquee matchups that I think you're going to see in the non-conference revealed. And as you mentioned, the latest coming out this morning, just right before you came on the air this morning, Matt, with Indiana being set to host Florida State in this year's Big Ten ACC Challenge. It's kind of nice, I'm sure, in the mind of the folks that are in charge of IU to kind of get off that Duke-UNC rotation. You know, three of the last 4 years they played Duke, and then the other year in that stretch they played North Carolina. So getting a different opponent in Florida State, one that I think Indiana hadn't played since something like 1992, first ever trip for Florida State to Assembly Hall. So I'm glad to see it changed up a little bit, get something different. I was hoping, had my fingers crossed, that they were going to play somebody that we didn't have too much familiarity with and hadn't seen before, so it's nice to get something different and fresh. And you know, Florida State's been a pretty good team. Last year they made it to the Sweet 16. I know they're losing a lot, so they're probably going to be in the middle of the pack team in the ACC. But if it's a game that Indiana can potentially win and have on its resume as the season moves along, you know, I think overall they're building a pretty solid schedule, with Arkansas also coming to town. You got the UConn game up at Madison Square Garden and the Jimmy V Classic, and you also got Notre Dame and the Crossroads in Indianapolis. So pretty nice schedule, I think, coming together so far. Be interested to see how the rest of it fills out, but it's good to get the Big Ten ACC matchups. I noticed that Duke was going to be going to Michigan State. That'll be awesome. And Louisville's going to host Michigan, so excited to see a lot of these games. One of my favorite really events of the year, just to kind of see where the league stands.
I'm glad
against one best league in the country.
I'm glad to hear you say what you did, because that's basically a repeat of what I told Lee in the first segment. You know, college basketball season to me has really arrived, and you know that all the fun and excitement of it on a regular basis is there when you get these type of matchups between the two conferences. And not only is it interesting, obviously, to find out who Indiana is going to play and that it's going to be a home game for Indiana, looking at Michigan at Louisville, looking at Duke at Michigan State, looking at Virginia at Purdue, Notre Dame at Maryland. Those are just some really intriguing matchups that stand out to me. Once again, I think some great pairing up of teams that are going to provide a lot of excitement and tell a lot of the story early in the college basketball season for next year.
Yeah, and the other good thing about those games typically is right around it now. We have the two early Big Ten games. So it used to be non-conference in college basketball. You know, you only had really just the maybe one or two good games, and then you had to wait until Big Ten season started. But now, really late November, early December is one of my favorite parts of the season, because you get a chance to see a couple of conference games. You get a Big Ten ACC challenge, and then you know, as the month of December plays out, you got the Crossroads. So there's some meaningful games now being played early in the season, which I think is good for the sport. I know around here we all care about college basketball year-round, but around the rest of the country, you know, there's a lot of people that kind of just fly in and start paying attention late in the conference season, the NCAA tournament season. I think anything that college basketball can do to kind of ramp up the interest in the sport nationally earlier in the season is good, and the Big Ten ACC Challenge is definitely one of those things.
Looking on your site, Alex, you were talking about the basketball camps, and it's been a while since I've looked at basketball camps and prices, but it appears that a shooting camp will run you around $85, and other camps can go as high as $300. They've moved up in price a little bit back since you and Josh were going to basketball camp.
Yeah, I think they've raised the prices a little bit since the Hanover and the IUS.
Unair-conditioned rooms and all that.
Oh, yeah. Archie Miller's going to have his camps, obviously, this month. The two key dates, I think, this month in terms of a camp perspective, Indiana's going to have a team camp this Saturday and next Saturday. It's a little different than how they've done it in the past, I think, because of the changes to the recruiting schedule. Obviously, next week there's going to be an evaluation opportunity at the NBA Top 100 camp in Charlottesville, Virginia. So the coaching staff can't really have a full weekend, I don't think, to have a team camp. So they've split it up this year. They're going to have two one-day team camps, June 8th and June 15th, and that'll have a chance to bring in some of the top teams from around the area, the Midwest, and get guys on campus. And I know Matt has been with me before, and I think Duomini actually played up there last year at the team camp. But it's a good opportunity for not only kids to get a chance to go play in Assembly Hall and Cook Hall, but it's a good chance for the coaching staff to get kids on campus, show them around the facilities, and then also get a chance to evaluate. So it's a win-win, I think, for everybody. And those camps are I think, a valuable tool. You know, Indiana really used team camp 2 years ago to recruit Jerome Hunter pretty hard. Obviously, he ended up committing. And then last year, Trace Jackson Davis was there and I think had a really good time, a good experience, and he ended up committing too. So anything you can do to get kids on campus and showcase the program. And then obviously the camps you talked about, you know, there's some shooting camps and some youth camps and all that. It's just a cool thing, I think, for younger kids just to kind of get their chance to go to Assembly Hall and get shots up. And, you know, a lot of kids will remember that moment for the rest of their life.
I know, Alex, and I'm probably shorting somebody, but Silver Creek with Trey Kaufman, obviously going to be at Assembly Hall for the shootout this weekend. It's, if I'm correct, they've got two Saturdays of games. I think it's the next two weekends, or maybe it's this Saturday and then skip one. I'll check the dates, but Silver Creek will be there this weekend, I know for sure, with Trey Kaufman. New Albany is playing. I know New Albany opens up with Indianapolis Cathedral. They've got some players of interest on Saturday morning. And then I just talked earlier today to Ryan Miller. He's going to be Providence's new head coach. It's been in the works now for a couple weeks, and I think it's getting pretty much official. He's going to be coaching Providence tonight in Summer League, we were talking about. But he mentioned that Providence at some point, I don't know if it's this weekend or later in the month, but they are going to be on the campus of IU for some games. And I'm sure there's some other teams as well. Joe Luce has taken his team before. Floyd Central's been there. But even if it's a team without IU prospects, a Romeo or recruits on there for the next couple of years, it's still a great experience to play on that Assembly Hall floor. So great to see. And every coach at IU has taken advantage of camps. I mean, shooting camps and youth camps and father-son camps. There's all sorts of things that coaches have done. But kudos to Archie Miller and his staff for immediately, and you and I, Alex, have spent some time talking about this a lot, but kudos to him for immediately getting a team camp rolling again, getting high school coaches on the campus so they can get close to them, get close to players on their own facilities and showcase not only, obviously, historic Assembly Hall, but Cook Hall and everything else that the IU campus has to offer as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think the key thing, too, there is the relationships with the high school coaches. You mentioned some schools that right now maybe don't have anybody that Indiana's looking at, but still you want to get those programs and those coaches on your campus so that maybe 3 or 4 years down the line, say a Providence develops a kid or a New Albany or any school around the state develops a kid that ends up being a high major prospect, you've got that relationship with that program and that high school coach to where, you know, when you go to recruit that kid, there's some familiarity there. And that's one thing that Indiana didn't do under the previous coaching staff, and I think there was a lot of people who were upset with maybe the perceived notion that IU's coaches didn't really have the best relationships with high school coaches around the state. And you mentioned Archie Miller's kind of made that a priority, so it's good to see that continue. This will be the third year of the team camps, and I would expect them to continue to happen in the years to come as well.
Alex, new rule change. Should I be concerned that IU couldn't hit the three-point shot from 20 feet 9 inches last year, that things are going to get even worse when they're shooting from 22 feet 1 3/4 inches next year?
Well, I guess there's two schools of thought on this. One would be if the glass half full would be they've moved the line out a little bit, so that should maybe help a little bit with the spacing of the floor and, you know, be able to space the floor a little bit better. And then the glass half empty approaches, it just, you know, the defenses will just continue to stand where they were last year, and IU will have to shoot the ball from a little bit further out, and the results won't be any better because it's obviously you move the line out and it's a tougher shot. I actually think IU is going to be a better three-point shooting team next year, and the reason why is I think the two guys you had taken the most threes last year were Juwan Morgan and Romeo, and neither one of them did it at a high percentage. And that's no knock on either player, but that was just the reality of the stats. I mean, they took the most threes and, you know, didn't shoot great percentages. So I think you're going to see a situation next year where a guy like Al Durham and Devontae Green are taking more three-point shots than they were from a percentage perspective better than those guys. But, I mean, I like the rule change. I think anything that college basketball can do to kind of get in line with the way the game is being played internationally and around the world. The one thing I would like to see done hasn't been done yet. I don't really understand why it hasn't been done is play four quarters. I mean, look at, you know, you start playing four quarters of basketball when you're in elementary school. You play it in high school. The NBA plays it. International basketball plays it. Women's college basketball plays it. And yet in college basketball, we still have the same 20-minute half. My guess is one of the reasons they're reluctant to switch away from it is because they have this great thing built in, which is 8 TV timeouts per game with the setup they have going, and it could be a money thing, you know, in terms of figuring out how they would, you know, divide up the timeouts. But I would really like to see that happen in the future. I think eventually we'll get there. But in terms of the 3-point line, that's one rule change. I think it's a good thing, and they also. The other one is I think the shot clock is only going to be reset to 20 on an offensive rebound, which I like that as well. I don't see any problem with that. That was one of the experimental rules that they played with in the NIT last season, and I liked it. So glad to see that adopted as well.
Alex Bozich inside the hall, our guest talking IU basketball as we do each Thursday here on the Hoosier Report. Let's chat a little bit about the Indiana-Kentucky series this weekend. As far as the All-Stars go, last night Trace Jackson Davis led the way against the Indiana Juniors in an exhibition game at Newcastle. We've talked a lot about the series. Lee and I spent some time on it in the first segment today. But from an IU perspective this year, a great opportunity for fans to get out Friday. Tickets are still available at KentuckyBasketballCoaches.org for the game at Bellarmine. Bellarmine is just across the river, easy to get to. Easy to get in and out of. If you haven't seen Trace Jackson Davis and Armon Franklin play, a great chance to maybe meet those guys, get autographs, see them play for the kids, etc. With that, kind of an interesting situation because given the proximity of IU to those guys, they've already been on IU's campus working out and kind of getting an early experience into what to expect this summer with workouts and off-season development. Now they're going to step away from that for this week to practice and scrimmage and do all the things the All-Stars do leading up to a weekend series with Kentucky and then get right back to campus, I'm sure, Sunday or Monday. Kind of a sampling, an appetizer, you could say, of the college experience without everybody there on campus, all the team. They're going to step out of that and then get right back into it full force. So it's kind of a neat, I'm sure, opportunity for them to learn a little bit and know what's ahead of them in this grueling summer of off-season workouts and conditioning, but then also go back and really play their final couple high school-like games.
Yeah, and I like that they're doing. I like that they're playing, and that people might wonder, say, "Well, you like that they're playing? They were selected to the team." But I can remember the last couple of years. There's been a couple guys who have bailed on one or two of the games and not even shown up and just went off to college. And I know it's easier with IU being close; it's not that big of a deal. But you know, these guys that don't have to obviously do that, and we've seen in the past some examples. I think there was some frustration with the folks that organized the game the last couple of years with guys just not showing up to certain things because they had obligations with college. But I like that these guys have prioritized this and decided to play. The Purdue guys, the same thing. It's cool just to have a chance to see them one last time as high school players. You know, I've been to the game at at both venues, and I actually kind of like it a little bit better at Bellarmine because it's a little bit just a better atmosphere because it's a smaller venue. And in Bankers Life, I mean, they get a decent crowd, but that's such a huge venue that it just feels like it's so empty. When you look around in the Bellarmine, they get a nice little crowd in there. So I'm looking forward to seeing how it goes. I had a chance to go to both of the junior exhibition games and came away with pretty impressed with a lot of those kids. I know they didn't knock off the seniors last night, but I think the future of basketball in the state for next season, while you may not have that top-tier guy like a Romeo Langford, a Keon Brooks, or a Trace Jackson Davis, I think down the line you got a pretty strong nucleus of five or six guys that are really good players and should be good college players as well.
Talking to Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. Speaking of the future of basketball here in Indiana, I think we've talked as much about Trey Galloway and Anthony Leal the last month as probably any recruit on this program. They obviously have gotten a lot of attention from Indiana recently, and now they've been playing for the Indiana Junior All-Stars. Another guy last night, Nigel Pack. We've mentioned his name. You've talked about him. A number of people that appear on this show have bragged on him and how he's improved and how he's played so well this spring. Another big performance from him last night. I know Indiana's watched him. Obviously, they know who he is, being an in-state player. If he continues to play like this and if he continues to develop as he gets into his senior year, could he become someone that is recruited at the level Galloway and Leal have? Is he another player that IU fans should add to their radar of in-state guys to track and follow and maybe even wish for to become a Hoosier after their high school career ends?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think he's further along in his recruitment maybe than some of the other guys, and so it's going to come down to a situation where Indiana's, I think, going to have to make a decision pretty soon if they want to enter the mix and go after him, because he's got some official visits, I think, coming up this month. I know Kansas State just jumped in with an offer, and he's got a lot of really solid mid-major offers. And I talked to him after that first UIBL weekend when he kind of had a breakout weekend. You look at his EYBL stats, he's not only putting up a lot of points, he's doing it efficiently. His numbers, his shooting percentages are really good. And so I think more than anything else, he's looking for the right fit. And I'm not sure Indiana is going to be a school that's going to offer soon enough to be there when he makes his decision. We'll see. You know, maybe it's a situation where they tell him, hey, we want to watch you the rest of the summer. We're really interested in you. We're not ready to offer yet. But that's going to come down to what he wants to do. And I feel like if he finds the right fit for himself, he could make a decision sooner rather than later. We'll see. He is a little small, I think. That's the one thing you do worry about him. Worry about with him. I mean, he's a couple inches shorter than even what Yogi Ferrell was. And obviously Yogi turned out to be a great player, but he was just a tremendous athlete as well. And Nigel Pack's a really good player, a good athlete, but I kind of wonder about him at the Big Ten level. We'll see. But definitely a good player, a lot of fun to watch, great kid, a lot of fun to talk to. And definitely if you go to the All-Star stuff this weekend, well, actually he's done because he's a junior, so you won't get a chance to see him. But I would keep an eye on his name the rest of the summer. He's obviously been a big reason why Spieth has been one of the surprise teams on the EYBL circuit and earned a Peach Jam berth unexpectedly. So really good spring from Nigel Pack, and be interested to see how he does the rest of the summer.
Absolutely. Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, joins Lee and I Thursdays on the program. Alex, as always, thanks for the chat. Enjoy your time off. We'll catch up with you in a couple weeks, and I'm sure at that point be headed right into the NBA draft with Romeo Langford, so we'll catch up on the latest with that. But enjoy your time away. We'll talk with you soon.
Absolutely. Take care, guys.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, at Inside the Hall on Twitter. Great resource for IU basketball, and he's with us Thursdays on the Hoosier Report. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with more here on this Thursday edition of the program. Stay with Lee Kelly and I right here on the Big X Sports Radio.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Lee Kelly with me on this final segment of our Thursday program. And Lee, we've got some interesting stuff to talk about in this segment. A couple coaching tidbits out there. I mentioned this earlier talking with Alex about IU's team camp this weekend, but Ryan Miller has been named or will be named the head coach of the Providence boys basketball team, which is very interesting. He was a candidate for the job the last go-around, which was just a year ago this time, really, and eventually withdrew his name from the process. Providence continued the search, later on located Sean Smith, who left West Washington to come to Providence, was there for a year, and then the job opened at Charlestown, and Sean Smith had been there, he'd had success there, and decided to go back and accept that job to return to Charlestown as the head coach, leaving an opening once again for Providence and its basketball program. I can't think, given the Providence family, given the Providence situation, where the program is at right now, what they need to do to climb back in contention over the next few years, I can't think of a better person in our immediate, our local area than Ryan Miller, who knows the program, played for that program, is well thought of as a talented coach. When he left Providence, Todd Sturgeon was smart to pick him up at Floyd Central, and he did oodles from the defensive side, specifically with the Highlanders. And, of course, you put Sturgeon and him together, that's quite a coaching staff, really. So interesting to see that Ryan Miller headed home, it looks like. It wouldn't surprise me if there was a former IU Hoosier that was on the bench once again as well at Providence, but we'll have to see how that all plays out, helping Coach Miller. But nonetheless, it looks like Ryan Miller back at Providence, a very fine young basketball coach in our area, and great to see him, it looks like, get a chance finally to have his own program.
Yeah, and Providence, four coaches in 4 years, a bit of a problem for any program. And Coach Grants, is that correct?
Yes.
I am so bad with names. But Coach Grants did a great job, very personable young man, really put a nice program together. And since then, it's just been a turnover situation. I think we'll see Ryan come in and reestablish what Coach Grants was doing. He knows the players in the area, certainly, knows basketball, and I think people will certainly be wanting to be a part of his program, both as players and as coaches. I think Providence certainly made a great hire right there.
Absolutely. So he will actually be on the bench tonight coaching the Pioneers in Summer League basketball. Speaking of coaching changes, Joe Hinton, not the Joe Hinton that we all know, his son, Joseph Hinton Jr., has been approved, and it was official last night by the school board out at Cordon that he is going to be the head coach there. So he's a young guy. Wonder if Dad will be on the bench with him. I haven't talked to Joe Sr. for a while, but Joe Hinton was a fine high school player. I know he has coaching aspirations, and perhaps he's getting an opportunity to lead a team himself earlier and quicker than what he thought he might. But nonetheless, interesting to see him on the bench, and we wish both him at Cordon and Coach Miller the very best.
Yeah, and you've got – I don't know that you'll see Joe Sr. on the bench, because Joe Sr.'s on the bench with his wife
down
at Lanesville.
Right.
So there may have to be a family meeting to decide where Joe Sr. But it's great to see a Joe Hinton back on the sidelines as the head coach at Corydon, and it's great to see Joe Hinton Sr. and his wife Angie on the bench at Lanesville. They've got young players. They had a great year last year, and great things coming there. So the Hintons going to have a great upcoming year, I think.
Absolutely, and this is an interesting thing here, and I want to tread lightly with this because we are preparing to cover the Dragons and their baseball team on Saturday in the Semistate at Mooresville High School. But there is a published report on a newspaper called the Wilson Post. You can read it at wilsonpost.com. It says Joe Decker, the head coach at Silver Creek, is going to leave Silver Creek and become the head coach at Mount Juliet High School, which is located in Tennessee. Mount Juliet is western Wilson County, Tennessee, a suburb of Nashville, 17 miles east of downtown Nashville, the geographic location. Apparently, this school must be a powerhouse in high school baseball. Coach Decker is kind of synonymous with the Silver Creek community. The longtime baseball coach there has been around that community now for a number of years. Obviously, he's had great success. He took the Dragons to the state finals last year. They're in a semi-state, one game away from Victory Field, and a repeat to the state finals this year. Lee Kelly, that was surprising news to come out, especially just hours, days before the Dragons are going to do battle in the semi-state round. I did not see that one coming.
No, and there's always a story. I mean, where is this place located? Mount Juliet High. There's always a story of how they all got connected, and I don't know what that story is, but somebody will come out and tell us how Joe Decker's name ended up down at Mount Juliet. So we'll see. This program, though, at Mount Juliet, six players have gone on to play professional baseball. Three have made it to the majors, so they must take baseball pretty seriously down there if this report is true involving Coach Decker.
Yeah, and again, just to highlight this to one more time, this is a published report in a newspaper, WilsonPost.com, Joe Decker to coach MJ Baseball, the headline. You can read it yourself. I was floored when I got the text. Never surprised when a coach wants to switch jobs. Would not have been surprised if Coach Decker had maybe applied at some other of the openings this offseason. You just never know what's going on. Talent changes, people graduate, situations change. But, boy, I hate to see him leave the area altogether if this report holds up that he is going to head down to the Nashville area and coach high school baseball. Real quick, before we get out of here, a couple things. Kentuckiana Summer Basketball League action tonight. I'm going to run through the varsity games. These are games at New Albany High School. Admission is at $2. 5:30, Bullet East takes on Scottsburg. Jason Couch, the coach of Bullet East from Scottsburg, he'll take on his former high school. So an interesting matchup at 5:30. 6:30, New Albany takes on Bullet East. 7:30, Scottsburg takes on St. X. 8:30, New Albany takes on St. X on Thursday night. Varsity games at Hazelwood tonight starting at 5:30. Admission is $2. DeSales takes on Providence. I think that's a great game there between two Catholic schools. Ryan Miller will be on the bench tonight for Providence. DeSales will take on Crawford County at 6:30. Jeffersontown will take on Providence at 7:30. And Jeffersontown will take on Crawford County at 8:30. There are a number of JV games and a freshman game as well. Full courts tonight at both of those places. If you're got the itch for some summer basketball, head to New Albany or Hazelwood, 5:30 on, $2 admission. Lee, thanks for being with me. That wraps it up. I'll be back at 11 o'clock tomorrow. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.